appreciate that good singing.
Yes.
Bless my heart. I just appreciate it so much. And you know, I'm convinced. I've been saying this for a long time. I believe the closest thing that we'll ever get to heaven down here on earth is when we're gathered in His house and He's present with us.
You're right.
I tell you, I believe that's the closest thing you'll get down here to being there.
Amen.
Amen. And one day we'll get to gather with Him over yonder. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
What a day that's going to be. But it's just a blessing to fellowship together in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we can think or ask. So if you can think it and you can ask for it,
yes,
He can top it. Amen. He can go beyond it.
Yes.
And we just thank God we got a God like that to serve. Amen. All right. I want you to take your Bibles with us tonight, if you will, and be turning to the Gospel of Luke, and we'll be in chapter number 18. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 18. And I want to read a few verses here tonight and try to bring you some thoughts that I feel like the Lord has called attention to our hearts with tonight. In Luke chapter number 18 and in verse number 1, "And He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." And I heard someone say that if you don't pray, you probably will faint.
Amen.
Amen. In the Bible, when you see that word faint, it generally means to be faint-hearted, or it, I guess the way we'd put it today, to be faint means just to give up.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times I've seen the time that was my only two options, is to pray or give up. But there's a whole lot better possibilities with praying than there is giving up. Amen.
Yes,
praise the Lord. And but He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then He gives the parable. He said, saying, "There was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet this widow troubleth me. I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you, He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank You again tonight for being so good to us. And God, I pray that You'll bless now the reading and the preaching of Your word. I pray You could speak through us, Lord, to the hearts of Your children tonight. God, You know what we need in our lives. Lord, You know all about us. You know every problem that's represented in this building tonight. You know every difficulty, every desire of all of our hearts. And so, Lord, I pray that You'll do a work in us, Lord, that will help us and give us strength, Lord, for the journey. We look forward to that day when you gather us all home together on the glorious side. But until then, Lord, help us to be a light in this old dark world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I want to try to preach for a little bit tonight on the thought of having faith in God. Jesus, if you compare verse 1 with verse 8, is the indication that the Lord is connecting prayer with faith. He said in verse 1, he spake this parable that men ought always to pray, not to faint. And he closed the parable by saying, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? So he's making a connection with prayer and faith. James tells us in his epistle that when we pray, we need to pray and ask in faith, nothing wavering. That we need to believe God when we ask God for something. And that is important. Now in this verse, verse number 8, Jesus is the person who is searching for faith. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth? We know he's coming, and apparently faith is going to be more rare in the lives of people as you get nearer to his coming. I think there's going to be less genuine faith in the hearts of individuals. Otherwise, I don't know why he would ask that question. When I come, will I find faith on the earth? Will there be any faith left on this earth? And then, of course, we know that we can't overstate the importance of having faith in God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. And the place that he looks for faith is this earth, because once we get to heaven, we won't need faith anymore. Our faith will be turned into sight.
Right.
Amen. We'll see him as he is. Praise God. Yes, sir. But this story that Jesus tells us here about this little widow woman, it reminds us of perils or things that can happen to put our faith in jeopardy. He calls her a widow. That tells us that her husband has died. That she's left alone in this world. Now, we don't know what he died of. We don't know if he was an old man or a young man when he died. But nevertheless, she's a widow. And that's something she had no control over. In the providence of God, he chose to take him first and leave her behind. And you know, a lot of times it's those things that God allows in our life that we can't control that puts our faith in jeopardy.
You're right.
And the devil will come along and say, well, if God really loved you like he says he does, then why does he let something like that happen?
Right.
Why would he take your husband and leave you alone in this world if he really loved you? And when the devil approaches you in that way, it makes faith more difficult in your life. Because sometimes we just ain't got an answer for the devil.
Right.
Sometimes we just have to say, I have no idea why God done what he done.
Yeah.
We just don't know. But these things that God allows that are beyond our control put our faith in jeopardy. And then another thing the Bible mentions here is this widow woman now has got an adversary. She goes to the judge and says, avenge me of my adversary. Now, we don't know what kind of an adversary for sure he is, but it's bound to have something to do with a legal matter because she's trying to get help from a judge.
Right.
Probably since she's been left alone as a widow, it may have something to do with some of the former business dealings of her husband. He may have owed some debts. Or some adversary may be trying to come and collect a debt, or he may be trying to put maybe some kind of lien on her home or her property, or whatever it is, she's got this adversary that's given her trouble, and she has no recourse but to go to this judge to try to get relief.
Yes.
But we're told that this judge that she is dealing with is a man who has no fear of God. He's not a God-fearing man at all. Bible makes that clear. He does not fear God, and not only does he not fear God, he don't care one single thing about nobody else but except himself. He's one of them kind of guys. He only cares about what's going to benefit him. He don't care about nobody else, not none whatsoever. He don't regard man, and he don't fear God. Now, that's kind of a rough character to have to deal with. And when you have to deal with people that don't care nothing about you or God, it'll put your faith in jeopardy.
Yes, sir.
It'll try your faith.
Right.
It'll try your faith. And so, she's up against it. She's up against it. And we're finally told that the only reason that he finally gives her a hearing and listens to her argument is just to get rid of her. He's tired of being bothered with her. He said, if I don't go ahead and get this over with, the woman's going to nag me to death.
Yes,
I'm just sick and tired of dealing with her. I'm just going to get rid of her.
Yeah.
But what he was doing for her was not really for her. It was for him.
You're right.
I understand. You know, for a long time when I read this parable, the most I could get out of this was that I guess if you need something from the Lord, if you just worry him plumb to death about it till he gets tired of listening to you, maybe he might give it to you. But you know, the more I've thought about it, I don't think that's what the parable is trying to teach us. Instead of this parable teaching us a similarity between the judge and God, I think it's teaching us an opposite of this judge and God. God is not like this judge. So, here's what encourages me about this parable to have faith. If this little widow woman could wind up getting what she needed from this kind of judge, how much more can we expect to get what we need from our kind of judge?
Yes, sir.
You think about the character of this man. Here's a man that don't fear God. He don't regard man. He's probably one of these crooked judges, I would imagine. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody hand him a little money under the table if it wouldn't influence what kind of decision he made, because he don't care about nobody but himself. That's all he's in it for.
Right.
His own self, his own gain, his own convenience.
Yeah. Right.
But you understand that even though she dealt with a man of that kind of character, she did wind up getting what she came for. And if she could get what she came for, dealing with that kind of judge, what do you think we might get dealing with a God who is loving and kind and merciful and gracious?
Amen.
And he cares about us, and he wants what's best for us,
right,
and he knows everything there is about
Amen.
Us. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Sure.
I'll tell you what, if she could get what she wanted from that kind of character, it ought to encourage us to come before our judge
Oh, yeah.
and talk to him tonight. Amen.
Right.
Glory be to God. He is a just God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Not only that, but I got to thinking about this too. She not only got what she came for, in spite of the kind of character she was dealing with, but she got what she came for, and as far as we know, she was a complete stranger to the judge. There's no indication that she was any relation to him whatsoever. So far as we know, when the first time she walked into his chamber or office, or maybe it was a tent, I don't know what he was operating out of. Far as we know, first time she ever laid eyes on this man was the first time she had ever laid eyes on him. And he her. But now suppose how convenient it could have been if this judge she had to deal with could have been her father.
Yes, sir. You're right.
Oh, suppose she could have come up and said, "Now, Dad, I got this old clown over here on my back, and he's about to aggravate me to death. Now, you the judge, Dad. How about see if you can't help me out here with this situation?"
Yes, sir.
But see, she couldn't do that.
Right.
As far as we know, she never even met this man before. But me and you, when we come before our judge, we ain't dealing with a stranger.
Right.
Oh, praise God.
Yes, sir.
We're dealing with somebody we call Father, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Oh, yes, I'm telling you. Paul said it like this. "Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, if she could have come and said, "Dad, help me out. Oh, come on, brother. You my brother, you can do something for me." Amen. Yeah. But I mean, she couldn't call him Dad. She couldn't call him brother. And all this, and she wasn't part of his household.
Right.
Oh, but me and you are part of his household tonight. We're in the household of faith. And
right. And
not only is he our father and Jesus is our elder brother, but praise God, we're betrothed to him, as they were singing a while ago. We're part of his bride tonight, praise God. I'm telling you, we're going to a wedding in the sky with him one day. Amen. If this woman could get what she came for from a perfect stranger,
yes, sir.
What do you reckon we ought to be able to get from our Father?
Amen. You're right.
From our beloved.
Yes, sir.
From the lover of our soul.
Amen.
What do you reckon we ought to be able to get? Huh? Not only that, but I thought, you know, how nice it would have been if she could have had a friend that knew the judge, that could have gone to the judge on her behalf. I mean, wouldn't it have been nice if she could have said to a friend of hers, "Hey, you've been knowing the judge a long time. How about you go talk to the judge for me? Go talk to the judge for me." But see, far as we know, she didn't have nobody to go do her talking for her. She had to go walk right in there, cold turkey, stranger, never seen the man before. But yet she got what she came for.
Amen. Yeah.
But you know what me and you have got tonight? We have got an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. That word advocate means one who pleads another's case.
Amen.
Like a lawyer. And we've got an advocate that sits at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for us.
Yes, sir.
We have a friend who will go before the throne on our behalf and speak to the Father for us. Ain't that wonderful?
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you, that's great to me just to think about what he does for us. He's our advocate. He's our mediator.
Yes.
He's our go-between.
Right.
Oh, yes. He's that friend that will go and speak on our behalf. And you know something about this friend that intercedes for us? It don't hurt a thing that the judge does happen to be his father.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And he'll go talk to his father for me and you.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does.
Amen.
Oh, if she got what she came for from a crooked, conniving, I mean, sorry man that didn't care about God or nobody else, if she could get what she came for from an outfit like that, how much we ought to be encouraged.
Yes, sir.
With the one we're dealing with tonight. Not only that, but there's no indication that she was ever encouraged to ask for anything. I mean, I don't think this judge here, as bad as he hated to be bothered, I don't think this judge had a sign on his door that said, "Ask and you shall receive.
Yes, sir.
Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open."
You're right.
But the one we're dealing with, all over the Bible, he's saying, "Come.
Yes, sir.
Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord.
Right.
Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
Amen.
And I will give you rest." Amen.
Right.
"Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Yes. Knock and it shall be opened." He stands with open and welcome arms.
Yes, sir.
Said, "Just come ask me something." In Jeremiah chapter 3, and Jeremiah 33:3. Somebody said that's God's phone number, Jeremiah 33:3. He said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee."
Yes.
God said, "Just give me a call. Give me a call, and I'll answer you."
Yes.
"I'll answer you." That old judge, he didn't want nobody bothering him. But in spite of all of that, she got what she came for.
Amen.
But our God encourages us to come. She got what she came for, even though she couldn't have access to that judge but at certain times. In those days, it was kind of like the old Western days of our country, in the early days of our country. You remember what they used to, if you've ever watched any of them old Westerns, you know what they always talked about? The circuit judge coming by. The circuit judge.
Yeah.
That means every town didn't have a judge there all the time. But a judge would have a circuit he went. And if you were going to do business with a judge in those days, you had to wait till he got to where you were. You had to wait till he came around to your place. It might be weeks or months before you got to talk to a judge. You had to wait. But in spite of that, she got what she came for. But the judge we're dealing with, he said he'd hear us, though we cry unto him night and day. I reckon we're in Randolph County here, ain't we, brother? Is this still Randolph County? Yeah, I'll guarantee you, there's probably some judges in Randolph County. But you probably couldn't call and get a hold of one right now.
No, sir.
As a matter of fact, I don't know what kind of arrangement you'd have to make to see one. But I know one thing. If you called him at 4 o'clock in the morning, you'd be wasting your time.
You're right. Yes, sir.
But not my judge. Brother Rick, amen. If I got a problem at the house at 4 in the morning,
yes, sir.
I can get down on my knees. And I can call him.
Amen. He's there.
He'll be right there. Praise the Lord.
Yes, sir.
You know, that ought to encourage us to ask.
Amen.
It ought to encourage us to ask. And then, think about this. She got what she came for, even though she came for her own cause. The only thing that this judge stood to gain by helping her was he got her out of his hair. But as far as we know, he didn't stand to gain anything else except just getting rid of her.
Yeah.
But now suppose this adversary that was bothering this little woman, suppose he could have also been an enemy of the judge.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And suppose that by helping her, he could have been getting back at one of his enemies. Oh, that would have really picked business up. Now think about this tonight. Who's your greatest adversary? Your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But a long time before he was your enemy.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
And when the Lord helps you in your battle with him, he's not only helping you win, but when you win, he wins.
That's right. Amen.
When he helps me and you win, then he's a win for him. You don't think he wants to help you win? God doesn't want to watch you get stomped by the devil.
Yes, sir.
He don't want to see the devil run all over you and whip you and defeat you and destroy your life. God doesn't want that to happen.
Yes.
I'm telling you, if you'll just talk to him and you'll just tell him all about it, he'll do everything in his power to see to it that you get the victory over him, because when you win, he wins and rejoices.
Amen. You're right. Yes, sir.
Praise God. The best friend you'll ever have in this world is somebody that's got the same enemy you got.
Yes,
got the same enemy you got. You got the same enemy God's got. Now let me read you this verse and I'll be done. Look over in Exodus chapter 23. You ought to underline this one in your Bible. Exodus chapter 23. And look at verse 22. Exodus 23 and verse 22. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak. Now watch what God said he would do. Then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversary. Can you imagine what it's like when all of a sudden God starts fighting your enemy?
Amen.
The last person in this universe you want for an enemy is God.
Yes, sir. That's right.
But what a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen. Yes.
And if you'll ask him to help you, he would love nothing better than to see you get the best. of your battle.
Yes.
He would love nothing better than to help you win the struggle that you're facing in your life. Because don't you know God from His high holy throne in glory looks down with a smile on His face every time He sees one of His children get the victory.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I'm just saying, I think when you look at this as an opposite instead of a likeness, it encourages us to pray. It gives us a good reason to talk to our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we love You, but we thank You so much that You love us. We know sometimes our love wavers, and maybe sometimes we don't love You as much as we ought to, or like we used to, or like we should. But we know Your love is an everlasting love, and it never changes. And God, we're not dealing with an old, wretched, crooked judge that don't care about nobody, but we're dealing with a kind, merciful, loving God. Oh, Lord, who delights in mercy. And I pray You'd help us all tonight to be more encouraged to talk to You. And to pray and to ask You to help us in the time of need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.